This is the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this Saturday broadcast of the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a great old song that everyone knows and continue with our verse-by-verse study of the book of 1 Thessalonians, as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. But before that, I want to just remind you to listen after the message to hear about our great offer containing our brand new book here from the Gospel Hour. But right now, let's hear that great standard, Jesus Loves Me. Enjoy the music and then Dr. Green.
Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his little child come in. Jesus loves me, this I know.
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Dear Heavenly Father, as we study today, give us wisdom. Supply the need of the program. May somebody be saved today, Heavenly Father, as the Gospel Hour goes out. Save somebody. And we'll give God the praise for the happy privilege of preaching thy word. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, briefly, let me just point out some things about chapter 2, and then we'll go on. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul says in verse 1 that there, of course, in the days of Paul. Then he goes on to say that even after we suffered in Philippi, we did not change our mind about the gospel. We are preaching the same gospel that we preached before we were thrown in jail in Philippi in the shameful way that we were. Then he goes on to say that we did not seek to please men. We preached the gospel with boldness and much contention. We did not seek to please men. We did not speak flattering words. We did not seek the glory of men. We labored with our own hands night and day and preached the gospel to you people at Thessalonica. He said, God is my witness. I've lived holy and just and blameless before you, and I want you to follow in my steps. I want you to be an example. And of course, he had already commended them because they were examples of the grace of God. Now in verse 14, for ye brethren became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus, for ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Now, that word countryman there might be just a little bit misleading in the English. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar, not by any means, but men who are tell us that it means their fellow countrymen. or of the same tribe. Now, you see, here's what I've been saying, and I know some of you didn't understand it. Why, you say, Brother Green, I thought the greatest church in the world was a church where there is perfect harmony and perfect unity and peace. Everybody loves everybody else, and there's never a cross word. Brother Green, I thought that was the greatest church in the world. No, that's a spiritual mortuary. Now, don't misunderstand me. Just a minute. The gospel is a sharp two-edged sword, and it cuts going and coming. The gospel is a revealer of the hearts of men. The gospel is a light, and men who do evil do not come to the light lest their deeds be reproved. And when the minister reads the titles clear of some Pharisees and Sadducees, they're not going to sit quietly by and take it. There will be contention. There will be division. Yes, woe unto the man. Woe unto the woman that causes division and contention. But they'll come. Jesus said, a man's foes shall be they of his own house. Now, Paul is saying to the believers at Thessalonica, you are suffering the same persecution that the churches in Judea suffered of the Jews. You are suffering from your own countrymen in Thessalonica. In that day, of course, they thought that Christianity was heresy. They hated the very name of Jesus Christ. And Paul, who was Saul of Tarsus, did everything he could to wipe out the church before he was converted. And certainly he understands, as no one else possibly could understand, what it means to have a burning hatred toward the sect they called Christians. So he said to the believers at Thessalonica, brethren, ye became followers of the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ, for ye have also suffered the like things of your own countrymen, even as they did the Jews. Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Now we'll stop right there just a moment. Now, I don't want anybody to misunderstand me. I love unity. I don't like a fight. I fight the devil. I fight sin, and I shall continue to do so as long as God leaves breath in my body. But I don't enjoy a church fuss, and I don't enjoy a church fight. And I think it's terrible, but it will be as long as the church stays on this earth. Somebody said, if you ever find a perfect church, don't join it, because when you get in, it will be imperfect. As long as man stays in this body, churches will not be perfect. There will be Pharisees and Sadducees in the church, and there will be persecutors of the church, but the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. Now, in the days of Paul, Judaism, of course, was still very, very strong. And the Christians were hated by multiplied hundreds and thousands of people. And on many occasions, the church was persecuted severely and tremendously. And certainly it took a double portion of grace to undergo and to stand up under some of the persecution that was hurled at young Christians during that day. So Paul is commending, and he is giving honor to the believers in Thessalonica, assuring them that they belong to the real church, the churches of God, which are in Christ Jesus, because they are suffering the same brand of persecution from the devil that the churches in Judea and the other part of the country have suffered and are suffering. Now, let me make myself clear again. You know, the Bible tells us that it is no glory to be persecuted for ignorance. If you're persecuted because of ignorance, there is no glory in that. But blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, in this day and age, and I know that some of you say, well, Brother Green, you keep repeating, but I must. In this day and age, when churches are at ease in Zion, no contention, no one ever is opposed to the preacher, no one ever questions anything he says. He brings a Bible, sometimes you don't even bring a Bible. He brings a little notebook or a manuscript, he reads a 13-minute essay on Sunday morning, and many times there is no Sunday night service, and nobody ever says a word. Everything's lovely, everything's wonderful, and there are no contentions, there are no uprisings, there are no divisions, there are. Everything is lovely. Everything is in perfect unity. Now listen just a minute. Beware of the man of whom all men speak well, and if any man will live godly in Christ Jesus, he shall. S-H-A-L-L, he shall. No, maybe so, think so, or possibly so, or by chance, but he shall suffer what? Praise? No. Honor? No. Glory? No. If any man will live godly in Christ Jesus, he shall suffer persecution. So Paul is saying to the believers at Thessalonica, you are being persecuted for righteousness' sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad because you have the genuine product. Now I've just quoted 2 Timothy 3:12. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. Yea, and all who will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, in verse 15, Paul said they killed Jesus. They killed the Lord Jesus. They killed their own prophets, and they persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. Now, we still have some of that crowd today. They're still alive, and they're still persecuting the church. They still persecute God's preachers. They still hate God, and they are not seeking to please anyone but themselves. They are contrary to all men. They're right, and everybody else on earth is wrong. Now, just one minute. Let me say this. I'm not a compromiser. I believe in preaching the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. But I am not going to argue about secondary matters while the world goes on in sin, lost and without God. My business, number one, is to preach the grace of God that brings salvation, and then to instruct the children and to feed the children the milk and the meat and the bread that they may grow and become strong and bear fruit. So I'm not arguing about God bless you, what church is the bride and what isn't the bride, and which form of baptism's right and which isn't right. Listen, I believe in immersion. I've been immersed. But I do not preach baptism essential to salvation. I do not preach salvation by baptism. Water never has saved anybody, never will save anybody. The water of the Word will, the washing of the water by the Word, and the living water, which is the Word, that'll save. But the water in a baptistry or the water in Jordan won't save you, nor any other river. So I'm preaching Christ Jesus crucified, buried, risen and coming again. I'm preaching the blood, the remission of sin, and I'm preaching the premillennial coming of Jesus, because one of these glorious days, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will be raised, and then we will be caught up to meet Jesus in the clouds in the air, and we'll ever be with our Lord. Now, in verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians 2, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved. Listen just a minute. Would you believe this if I told you that one of the young men saved in my meeting 14 years ago, he was on the road to hell, he was lost, and if he'd have died in the condition that he was in, he'd have gone to hell lost and without God. He was saved in my tent. He organized a church and God blessed him. Exceedingly and abundantly God blessed him. And I conducted revivals for him many years. Then he got connected with a group who call themselves the Bride. And they say that I will not go in the rapture. Oliver Green will not be raptured. Oh, they say that Oliver Green will go to heaven, but I won't be in the Bride. No, I'm going to serve them. They're going to sit at the table with Jesus, and I'm going to serve them. That's what they say. That's right. They've written me that and told me that I won't be in the rapture, but I'll be in paradise, but I'll serve them while they sit with Jesus. Won't that be nice? But you know what? He told one of my friends that he could not have me in his church anymore. And the reason was that I did meetings for preachers who are not members of their one little denomination. That is, I do revivals in Methodist churches, Pentecostal churches. I've been in a Lutheran church in a revival, one of the greatest ever had. One of the greatest revivals I ever had was in a Lutheran church. And I preached the same thing that I've been preaching on this radio all this week and all last week and for 25 years plus. I don't preach one thing in a Baptist church, another in a Methodist, another in a Lutheran, a Pentecostal. Listen, I don't have but one gospel. God bears me record. But this dear man said, I can't have Oliver Green. He preached the gospel. I was saved in his meeting. God saved me in his meeting. I was redeemed in his meeting, but he can't preach in my church. No, sir. He preaches for those who are aliens from the Bride. Isn't that sad? I tell you, that breaks my heart. I'm not sarcastic. That breaks my heart. I mean it. To think that a fine young minister, a fine young preacher that God has blessed and honored would become so narrow and so calloused and so biased and so little, so very little as to believe that he will sit at the table with Jesus. And I won't get to sit down because he didn't baptize me. His crowd didn't baptize me. I don't belong to his church. I don't belong to his denomination. I don't belong to his fellowship. And because I don't belong to his little crowd, I will serve him while he sits with Jesus. That is heartbreaking to me. Paul said, they forbid us to speak to the Gentiles, that the Gentiles might be saved. Now they do this to fill up their own sins, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you in a short time in body, in presence, we're there in heart. Now he said, I want to see you face to face. Then he goes on down in verse 18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, I would come, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Paul said, you believers in Thessalonica, you in the presence of Jesus at his coming will be my crown of rejoicing. Then he goes on, in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming. Now the last verse, for ye are our glory and joy, Paul said to the believers. You Christians, you born-again believers in Thessalonica, of course, Colossians, and in the Colossian church, in the church at Ephesus, and in Galatia, Paul said, you believers, you saved people, are my crown of rejoicing. You are my joy. You are my pain. Beloved, I can truthfully say that all I've ever received out of the ministry is a living. I've never taken any trips at the expense of the ministry. I own no stocks or bonds, so help me God, that I've purchased with money given to me since I've been preaching. I don't own any stocks or bonds, period. All the money I have has been given to me. I don't have any property that I purchased with God's money, property that I rent or get gain from. The only property I have is the home where I live, and it's heavily mortgaged, and I mean that, heavily mortgaged. The house I live in is heavily mortgaged. I don't have any money, but I have a wonderful Savior. I have a wonderful Lord. All the clothes I have, all that I have, the food I eat, it is given to me by the people of God. And I want to say that my paycheck is the testimony. For instance, when I closed the Revelation series, I preached 3.5 months on Revelation verse by verse, and we gave an altar call, and almost 600 souls were saved that day. One day, think of it, almost 600 people found God. One day, that's my pay. When I get a letter from a dear man that reads like this, "Dear Brother Green, I'm a young man. I'm on death row. I'll be electrocuted soon. I was saved through a Gospel Hour tract. What does it mean to believe unto salvation? I read it. Somebody sent it to me, preacher. I don't know who sent it, but your name and address is in the tract, so I'm writing you. I read the tract here in my cell on death row. God saved me. Now I can go to the electric chair unafraid. Pray for me, and I'll meet you in heaven. That is my pay. That is my crown of rejoicing. That is my joy. I'm not preaching the gospel to make a living. I'm not preaching the gospel to buy bread. I'm preaching the gospel that souls may be saved. Now, Paul said that my own people forbid me to preach to the Gentiles. One of my own sons in the ministry would forbid me to preach to the Methodists, the Pentecostals, the Lutherans, the Episcopalians. But I'm going to preach to them anyhow. Praise God. Hallelujah. Some of my people would forbid me to preach to anybody but the little handful that bear the name of the denomination that I belong to. But I'm preaching to the Baptists, the Methodists, the Presbyterians, the Holiness, the Catholics, the Lutherans, the Episcopalians. I preach to whosoever will, anyone, everyone, regardless of the color of your skin, your nationality, who you are, where you are. I love you, and I want you saved. By the grace of God, I'll preach the grace of God to all who listen to the Gospel Hour, or to all who attend the meetings where God gives me the opportunity of preaching. Father, honor the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the word of God, and save the soul that's nearest hell. Save every soul that's under conviction. We'll give God the praise in Jesus' precious saving name. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again. I hope you received the blessing as you listen today. And if you would like a copy of today's entire program, just contact us. Let us know the day and the date of the program you want, and we can send that to you on compact disc. I also ask that if you can, please send a donation of at least $5 to help us cover our costs for postage and so on to get it to you, and we'll do that right away. But before we close, I do want to spend the last few moments telling you about our gift offer M. Now, we have put this offer together in honor of my father. We have been honoring him all the month of July and now this month, because it was 50 years ago on July 26th that he went to be with the Lord. And the Lord has blessed this ministry and kept it going for 50 years after his death. Now, on the day that he died, my mom found his Bible open to Psalm 30, verse 5. and that led us to putting together our brand new book, Joy Cometh in the Morning, a perfect bound book with 7 great sermons, 6 by my father, 1 by my mother. And there is also a timeline, a 3-page timeline of our ministry and my dad's life, and a composite photo of the Gospel Hour through the years. A wonderful book, perfect bound book that I know you will enjoy. Some of the sermons are The Inheritance of the Saints, The Ages of Ages. My mother's sermon is I Will Praise Him. Also, The Most Beautiful Sight in Heaven. Just some of the sermons in this great book. The sermons take up 98 pages. The other pages are with our timeline and so on. I know you will be blessed. Now, the cover pictures on the book were taken by my wife and me, and I hope you enjoy those beautiful photos. Then we have a color photo of my father, a 5x7 photo with his printed signature. Also a bookmark to go along with the book. And finally, the 4-page tract, 3 Steps to Heaven's Reward. I'm sending you 5 copies of that book. So to get all of this, just ask for Offer M and send your gift of at least $15. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.